Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Hallelujah. What's our scripture today, baby,
okay,
about not being fearful?
That's right. It comes from Isaiah 40, very famous chapter. Isaiah 40, verse 9. It says, "You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God."
Hallelujah.
Straight out of the Messiah. Well, Messiah straight out of Isaiah 40.
That's it.
Okay. But
we're going to be talking today, continuing on momentum.
That's right.
Momentum coming your way.
Finishing it up today.
See, we're going to do a brief review first.
Of course.
Momentum is best defined as the amount of force a moving body has because of its weight and the speed at which it's moving. In 1 Samuel 17:48-49, we read where David created momentum by running to meet Goliath.
Mm.
Let's talk about who can get momentum coming their way. Number one, stop seeing yourself the way others see you. When you're confident of who we are in Christ, when we exercise our faith, when we know our cause is just, our calling is right, then we should never be moved by what others, including friends and family members, may say. In 1 Samuel 17:28, David's brother questioned his judgment, demeaned his work, judged his motives, without ever giving him an opportunity to respond. In 1 Samuel 17:29-30, two verses. David didn't defend himself. He merely asked if this wasn't a cause that his brother believed in. Without waiting for an answer, he turned, started talking with someone else. To gain momentum in our lives, we need a confidence in who we are in Christ and a focused view of our future.
That's it. Number two, despise not small beginnings. Have you ever thought about what the Israelites and the Philistines were thinking when David reached down and picked up five smooth stones, as we talked about in 1 Samuel 17:40. What seemed small and insignificant to most everybody else became a destiny changer in the hands of David.
Amen.
The first job you ever had was probably just that, the first job. It didn't mean that your future success was based on what that was or stuck right there. You don't need to let anybody demean your ideas or minimize your potential for success. Zechariah 4:10, very common scripture. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." It's not where you start in life, it's where you end up, but everybody has to start.
That's it. Number three, make the most of where you're at, what you're doing at the moment. When the prophet Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint the next king of Israel, David was not even thought of. He was left out in the wilderness with the sheep. Some people would feel left out, if not offended, because they weren't invited to meet the prophet. In 1 Samuel 17:34-36, we read how David made the most where he was called to be, which gave him a confidence when opportunity arose before him.
Amen.
If God has given you a big vision, but you don't yet see the manifestation, be diligent where you are. Create a momentum for your future by your faithfulness today.
And you know, that's so important, creating momentum by your faithfulness today.
Amen.
Because God is watching and preparing you, believe me, even if you're not where you belong yet. Number four, ignore the criticisms of others when your cause is just and your direction is clear. In 1 Samuel 17:33, David had to deal with the doubts of even King Saul. Never allow anyone other than the word of God to determine your worth, value, or potential. Do not, and I say do not, succumb to a grumpy boss, a sarcastic supervisor, a lack of pay, even, or recognition. And don't let those keep you from doing the best job you can wherever you're assigned at the moment. I can promise you this, the real boss is looking.
That's right.
And that would be the Lord God Almighty. It's important and really essential and imperative, absolutely necessary, that we give our best efforts where we are, regardless of what others say or do around us. We can't control what other people say or do, but we can definitely control how we act and react to what is going on and what we do. So let's pick it up where we left off yesterday, babe.
Sounds good. Number five, become goal and reward motivated. 1 Samuel 17:24. 1 Samuel 17:24 says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." It's important to notice that this verse says that all the men of Israel, including David, ran from Goliath and were afraid. But in reading 1 Samuel 17:25, we see where things changed for David, and he became goal and reward motivated. Scripture says, "And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel,'" ooh, meaning debt-free. "After running away from him, some of the men of Israel started talking about the reward being offered for killing Goliath. But then something happened to change David's mind about the challenge. He had a defining moment based on new information and motivation. 1 Samuel 17:25. The men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel, he's come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his house free in Israel.'" Repeated that because we really want you to get it down
and
inside of you.
Not only that, but David double-checked it with another man, too, to just make sure
he heard
it correctly.
See, David discovered that the person who killed Goliath would be given three things. First, the warrior who defeats Goliath will receive great riches. God has a benefit delivery system designed for every person who ever drew a breath on planet Earth. He desires for you to be rich. That's why he gave you the power to get wealth, as it talks about in Deuteronomy 8:18. Second, the warrior, now victorious and wealthy, will receive the hand of the king's beautiful daughter in marriage. When you marry into the king's family, you're immediately given a favored place in court and opportunities for wealth and success beyond your previous experience or expectation.
That's it.
And third, the victorious warrior will have all their bills paid in full.
Mm.
See, the enemy wants to keep us up to our balls in debt, strung out by payments, and with little, if any, hope of ever becoming debt-free. The enemy wants you to believe that where you are in life right now is where you're going to stay. That's simply not true. Upon learning of the award, David made a profound statement in 1 Samuel 17:26.
Amen.
1 Samuel 17:26, when he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?"
The living God.
David finally received the right motivation. So here's the question. What's your motivation? Have you identified the motivation or reward you need created for you to have momentum for your success. That's right.
And that's the question. Wow. Number six, recognize who will fight your battles. The enemy, like a roaring lion, seeks to break your momentum by whatever methods he can, including fear or failure or the fear of the unknown. With God on our side, we have no reason to fear. That's what we've been talking about all year so far, and we're going to continue to it. In Psalm 118:6, Message Bible says, "God's now at my side, and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me?"
I love that.
While the situations and problems we face on a daily basis may not be life or death, like David was about to face, They are most often the choice between success and failure, often between mediocrity or excellence, or malaise or momentum. The momentum difference, the monumental really difference, the momentum difference begins with the words of our mouth. 1 Samuel 17:45. I love this. I love this whole 1 Samuel 17, truthfully, because it's so power-packed with potential for all of us. In 1 Samuel 17:45, it says, "Then said David to the Philistines, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." See, they made a critical mistake in the very beginning by defiling the living God. When we refuse to allow fear to break our momentum, when we know who we are in God, who we are in Him, then we can have a boldness in speaking to the giants in our lives. In reading 1 Samuel 17:47, two verses later, we clearly see David knew where his victory was going to come from. It says in the scripture, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands."
Wow.
Wow. David ran toward the giant with his mouth open, with a spiritual momentum that was unstoppable, as Goliath fatally discovered. Our momentum can't be stopped unless we allow it to happen.
That's so true.
Because if God is for us, who can be against
Amen.
Us? Amen. Every believer who uses the principles based on the word is going to have that energized, enlightened, and empowerment by the Holy Spirit.
So true, Beth.
That is so powerful.
Yes, it is. Number seven, create a momentum for victory. When the enemy shows up to break your momentum or kill your dreams, you got to be ready. In 1 Samuel 17:48-49, we read, David ran quickly toward the battle line. When we're facing a hard decision or a difficult problem to solve, we don't need to be overly pensive or hesitant. We need to aggressively pursue our dreams. We don't need to allow anyone to slow our momentum or create a fear of failure. Don't delay what needs to be done. Do it now. Scripture says that David reaches to the bag, grabs the stones, he was prepared. Preparation creates confidence, which produces momentum. Say that again. Preparation creates confidence, which produces momentum. David was confident in his God and the power of his might. As you journey to the debt-free lifestyle and the good life picks up momentum, praise God every step of the way for the mighty things he's allowed and empowered you to achieve. Hallelujah. The decision to create a momentum in your life, well, it's yours. It'll be created and as effective as you decide for it to be.
Amen.
Think on those things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Here's seven quick things. Keep momentum going in your life.
Purpose in your heart, number one, that nothing's going to keep you from achieving what God has placed in your heart. Number two, read the Bible every day. Don't miss a day. Three, spend time in prayer first thing each morning. And four, operate on a daily timeline with goals in mind. Five, create a confession about the momentum you desire in your life. And six, every day for at least an hour, listen to a CD or read a book that motivates you. And number seven.
Yes.
Listen to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast every day, just like you're doing today.
We love it. We love you.
Amen.
God bless you, and get the ball rolling.
That's it.
Till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.